Lord. But I have a message for us tonight. As Christians, good for sinners too. Even though we are saved tonight and rejoice in our salvation, the Lord would like us to draw a little closer to Him. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. After the Last Supper, moving on down to verse 30, we find they went out and sung a hymn. Matthew 26, 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. So in this story we see that he took all of his disciples to the garden, and it appears that he left them at the outer circumference of the garden, and then he took Peter, James, and John with him a little deeper into the garden. And now we read in verse 39, after he said, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, to the three he said, Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I would like to take that phrase, which might seem to some of you to be out of context, and he went a little farther. And I thought myself that I was making an application rather than giving an interpretation of this phrase, and he went a little farther. But as I begin to think about that beautiful phrase, and he went a little farther, I realize that this phrase speaks of distance. But something in my mind says that it speaks of something more than just mere distance. Something tells me that it speaks of purpose and of conduct and of a man who actually literally went a little further than anybody else would go. And I think myself that the crying need in the world today is for men and women to go a little farther. We have people working a 40-hour week. I mean putting in a 40-hour week. They're not working 40 hours because they demand their break time. And they leave early for the break and they come late back from the break. And they want their rights. And they want their vacation pay. And when the windstorm comes, they want some free pay for the days following the windstorm. I say that the crying need in the world today is for some people who will do a little more work and ask for a little less pay.
Amen. Amen.
Now there's a spirit that you don't see much of today. It's me first and the boss second. And so now large corporations are either going to fold up and close their doors or insist that the employee take a percentage drop in pay. Okay. Where are the men, where are the women today that have a standard and say, I am going to work and I want to give a day's work for a day's wage?
Amen.
I'm talking partly to a modern generation that hasn't heard this kind of preaching and teaching. But that's what the Bible's all about, and that's what God is all about.
Amen.
Equality, fairness, a balance. God hates an unjust weight. When you go to work, God wants you to work and put in an 8-hour day of work before you take home an 8-hour day of pay.
Amen.
Say amen if you think that's right.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to tell you something else. Let the Pentecostals be known for this very thing. Let the Pentecostals, let the Spirit-filled, Jesus' name, baptized children of God be known as people that go to the job and demand their rights, but give up their rights,
amen,
relinquish their rights,
amen,
and say, boss, I came to work today.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I didn't come to see how much I could chisel out of you.
Amen.
I didn't see how much time I could put in without working and get what I can.
Wow. Amen.
I think, personally, that if America's economy is going to collapse, that's going to be the basic underlying reason.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I think the economy of America can be spared if men will go to work and work,
amen,
for a day's wage.
Amen.
The crying need in the church today is for saints of God, men and women, who will not seek the fence, who will not seek the borderline, who will not say, what's wrong with this? Or what's wrong with that? The crying need in the church today is for men and women who can get out in the deep. Did you know that when you stand ankle deep in water or knee deep in water, you can reach down and get a handful of mud and throw it at somebody? But when you get out in the middle of the lake, when you get out in the middle of the river, when you get out in the middle of the ocean, brother, there's no mud slinging out there.
Amen. Amen.
And I'll tell you, when we as saints of God will get ourselves out into the deep things of God,
hallelujah,
we'll go just a little further.
Amen.
We won't be ankle deep. We won't be knee deep. We won't be hip deep. We'll get right out there in the full flow and the blessings of God. We're not going to throw mud. If we get out far enough, we're not even going to get hit by mud, are we?
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Because you won't feel it.
Wow.
You're lost in the fullness of God.
Praise God.
Why do we have Christians that are borderline Christians that want to see not how much they can do for God, but how much they can get by with and still make it into heaven by the skin,
amen,
of their teeth?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? Come on in from the borderline. Find out what's right about this.
Yeah.
Amen. Fall on your knees. Open your eyes. Read the book. Pray. Seek God. And get away from the borderline.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I made a statement to Brother Nichols a while back, and I've been thinking about it ever since. I said these words. It seems to me that dedication begins where duty ends.
Yes. Amen.
Let me repeat that. Dedication begins where duty ends.
Amen.
It is my duty to go to work and put in 40 hours. Dedication to your job begins after 40 hours.
Amen.
I stood at the time clock at my former place of employment, and I was the last one to punch out. And I remember those men before me whom the boss had asked to go get them a certain item from the warehouse. And they looked at him and smirked. I'm punched out. Would you like to pay me for another quarter hour? And it would take them maybe 2 minutes to do the favor. I didn't care if those men hated me for it. Nobody would go. And I said, I'll go.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'll go. I wasn't looking for a promotion. I wasn't looking to sit at a big steak with the boss. No, that wasn't it. I was looking, first of all, to do what's right in the sight of God.
Amen.
And next, I wanted to teach those men that that's what they ought to do.
Right.
Dedication begins where duty ends. A lot of people give their tithes and they say, I have done my duty. But dedication begins when you start giving beyond your tithes. You start giving tithes and offerings.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We think we are doing so much when we do only that which is our duty to do.
Right.
And we really haven't done anything.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Jesus made something clear. He said, if a man compels you to go 1 mile, go 2.
Right.
You know what he's saying? Don't do just that which the Roman soldiers made you do. Don't do just that which is your duty. Do more than your duty. Don't go the requested or commanded 1 mile. Go 2 miles.
Amen.
Then you'll be called the children of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Jesus said, I'll carry this a little further. You are nice to your friends. You have them over for a meal. But what about your enemies? He said, anybody can salute their friends.
Right.
But if you want to be like me, salute your enemies.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Go the second mile. Love the unloved, the unlovable. Love the unwanted, the undesirable. That's what Jesus did. Amen. Luke 17:10 says, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, Jesus said, say this, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now Jesus said that. When you have done everything that is your duty to do, then say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now I will ask a question. Does a headache, an uncomfortable headache, keep you away from church? Is it your duty to go to church? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but even so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah.
I know people that would stay home from church if they had a headache. Does company keep you home from church? I know people that have called and said, Brother Tanberg, we have company tonight. We can't make it to church. Bring your company to church.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Does pleasure keep you from church? We know good and well there are people that belong in church many times, but pleasure has called them somewhere else.
Right.
And they have heeded that voice instead of the Word of God.
Amen.
Do these things keep you from church? Let me tell you a story. A short story. It's a long story. I'll make it short. An old friend of mine, not much older than myself, and yet contracted cancer. And her church is in another state, far from here. And I went to visit the pastor, who was a friend of mine, and attend some of the services. And he called me on the platform. And as I looked over to the side, I saw a stretcher. And I saw that woman laying on that stretcher. She had cancer in her body and she was suffering pain. Every church service, she said, carry me into church. Carry me into church. And they would carry her into church and she'd lay there on that stretcher in the altar area. I went there one time. Where is Irma? Where is Irma? Irma came through the church doors the last time in a casket. And I thought, oh God, people will miss church for a headache. They'll miss church because they have company. They'll miss church because of the weather. They'll miss church because of pleasure. There's a woman that went a little farther. She
Amen.
Went a little farther
Amen.
Than most people would go. God bless her memory.
Amen.
We read about Jesus. Jesus, the habitual Jesus. I want to tell you something about Jesus and his habits. Jesus had habits. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus, we might say, made his debut into the ministry, he went to his hometown church at Nazareth. And the Bible says, when the Sabbath day was come, he went to the synagogue as his custom was.
Right.
Jesus had the habit of going to church when there was church.
Amen.
That's a pretty good habit. And
Amen.
You're here tonight, you must have the habit. God bless you for acquiring such a wonderful habit. Amen. And he wasn't there only physically, he was there spiritually. He stood up to read the Bible and he presented a powerful message to that congregation on that Saturday. Amen. As his custom was, he went to church. Jesus was habitually honest. He never told a lie. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Amen. He was habitually honest. You and I need to acquire that habit.
Amen.
And be habitually honest.
Amen.
Jesus was habitually holy. He was never unholy, never ungodly, never discourteous, never unkind. He was always a man of God first and foremost. Always a man of God. He had the habit of being holy. He had the habit of being honest. He had the habit of going to church. And he had a habit of withdrawing himself from the crowd. Now you knew that, I hope.
Amen.
The Bible says, as his habit was, that a long while before daybreak, Jesus got up and left the rest of them sleeping, and he made his way up into a mountain, and there he prayed alone. The Bible says he went to a solitary place and prayed alone. Oh, maybe there were some animals back there. Maybe he heard the howl and the growl of different animals. I don't know, but he was back in the wilderness praying to his heavenly Father.
Amen.
Jesus habitually withdrew himself and found time to get away from it all and to be alone with his God. He was not a hermit. Jesus Christ was not a hermit. The Bible says that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. In fact, he was not antisocial. He was so social that they called him a wine bibber and a gluttonous man. A friend of publicans and sinners. He was there where the crowds needed to hear his voice and receive his message. He was there when the people needed healing. He was there at the funeral when a mother was crying for her dead son. He was there with the crowd. He loved to mix. He was not a hermit, but he had a habit of withdrawing himself from the clamor and the clatter and the hustle and the bustle and all the noisy activity that you and I are so used to being in the midst of so often.
Amen.
And don't you just feel like you want to get away and be alone? You just want to plug your ears. I don't want to hear anymore. Jesus, Jesus, speak to my heart, speak to my heart. And it even seems like it takes a while before you can penetrate heaven. It even seems like it takes a while before you can free yourself and rid yourself of all these other thoughts. In prayer tonight, down the basement before service, the Lord showed me something beautifully. Now remember, the Lord can show you things in prayer. For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but He helps us.
Amen.
And so I fall on my face and humble myself before the Lord, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I said, God, I don't know what else to do, but humble myself before you and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I humble myself before you. I am nothing without you. My heart can't beat without you. My lungs can't receive or exhale air without you. Humble yourself before the Lord. And the Lord showed me that when you go upstairs, you are going to be battling spirits. Is that a surprise? No, it's not a surprise. It might be a surprise to some, but you all warriors in the Lord ought to know this by now. And even you that have been saved a few years and had some experience in the battle ought to know this by now.
Amen.
Just in case you don't, let me explain it.
Yeah.
The Lord gave it to me this way. Coming in on the shirt tails or the coat tails of the minds of my people are the spirits of this world, the spirits of fear, the spirits of doubt, the spirits of unbelief.
Amen.
The spirits of humanism.
Yes. Amen.
And the Lord showed me that you are doing it unwittingly. You are doing it without knowing it. You are innocent.
Yes.
But because you have been subjected to the filth of this present evil world, you don't even realize it.
Amen.
But there it is. And I'll tell you, it's so important for us when we come to church to sit in our pews and instead of talking to the one next to us, bow our heads. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, clear my mind tonight. Oh, Jesus, let every thought of mine be in harmony with your spirit and the flow of your spirit and the word of God. Oh, Lord, don't let me be a hindrance to this service tonight. Lord, be in my spirit. Lord, forgive me and fill me right now. Oh, Lord, I want to contribute something to this service tonight. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes. Amen.
That's what we need to do when we come to church. Cry out to God and shake our coattails. God has not given me the spirit of fear.
Amen.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Then after you've prayed and shaken your shirt coat or coattail, whatever, get rid of those spirits. Get that spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. You look at your neighbor. You look at your fellow saint. The first thought that'll go through your mind is, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And the devil will say, but didn't you hear what so-and-so said about them on Wednesday or on Thursday? Don't you remember? Sorry, Satan. I don't remember.
Praise God.
Amen. Sorry, Satan. I don't remember. I see you. Amen.
Amen.
Get rid of that thing.
Yes.
It doesn't belong in your head,
Amen.
And it doesn't belong in your heart, and Amen. It doesn't belong in your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you, you can come to church and you can shake off those things. The doubt, the fear, the unbelief, and enter into the presence of God. Not mechanically, but he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. You can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Remember, Jesus had the habit of withdrawing himself. Whether it's just before church or whether it's before you go to work in the morning or whether it's just before you retire at night. Now, we may not be able to find a mountaintop like Jesus did, and the wilderness might not be easily accessible to us, but every one of us can find a closet, a secret closet of prayer somewhere. And we need to find it. Then we can sing into the chamber, oh, sweet Holy Spirit. There is altogether too little withdrawing from the crowd today, even the Christian crowd,
Amen.
And getting alone with the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible is definitely pro-public prayer meetings. They had prayer meetings in the Bible when the congregation met, and even the building shook.
Yes. Amen.
That's how scriptural and how important congregational prayer meetings are. But they had to get alone with God. And we have to get alone with God. Do you know what society has even found today? Transcendental meditation and other types of meditation. Because they realize that there is a quality, there is a thing that we need in just getting alone and shaking off all these things. That's the world. You and I have a closet and we have Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we need to get alone with him. When we get alone with him in secret, he'll reward us openly, the Bible says. You get alone with the Lord before you go to work. You may see a crippled man at work. The Spirit of God may come on you, and you, saint, child of God, may look at that person and the Spirit says, heal him in Jesus' name. And a Holy Ghost boldness comes over you. Not a mentality that says so. But a Holy Ghost boldness comes over you. And without you hardly knowing it, you leap to your feet. And you say, in Jesus' name, be healed. What would happen on your job that day? Everybody would get witness to, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Who knows what God would do? And that's what the song leader said tonight. Who knows what God would do if we would pray and seek his face. The results come automatically. You don't command the results. You obey the word. The results are automatic. Praise the Lord. Jesus had heavy, heavy demands on his life. I am sure that Jesus had heavier demands on his time and his life than you and I have ever had or ever will have. The Bible says that they had not so much leisure as to eat. And he told his disciples, come apart and rest a while. And Jesus, as you know, had to send them across the sea in a ship, and he disappeared. He had to be alone. He withdrew himself. You and I need to withdraw ourselves. And instead of talking everything over on the telephone or with our Christian friends, we need to talk some things over with Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But in spite of the heavy demands upon his time, he found time to withdraw himself and be alone with his Father. In spite of the innocent, friendly influence that his friends wanted to exert upon him, he still withdrew himself and went a little farther. Let me explain that. As you know, in about Matthew 16, the Bible says, from that time forth, Jesus began to inform his disciples that he was going to be spit upon, that he was going to be persecuted, that he was going to be mistreated, that he was going to a cross, and that he was going to give his life and rise again the third day. But they didn't want to hear it. They wanted the good times. And that's the way sometimes we church people are. We want to see the healings. We want the glory. We don't want to lay down on our bellies on the floor and weep and cry and fast in sackcloth and ashes before God and say, oh God, we have sinned. We have come short of thy glory. America has sinned. Lord, we intercede for her.
Amen.
That's what we need. We need some of that too.
Amen.
He'll heal us. He'll do miracles. We'll have good times. But there is a time when we need to withdraw in spite of the innocent, friendly influence our Christian friends are constantly or wanting to exert upon us.
Amen.
Jesus had those kind of friends too. Peter took Jesus, and you read it right, and you'll know that Peter took Jesus and rebuked him and said, oh no, 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 you're not going to the cross. We'll die for you. We'll fight. We'll draw our swords. You're not going to the cross. Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Peter wasn't Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but you savor the things that be of man. That's why we have to get away from men. That's why we have to withdraw. That's why we have to go to that wilderness or that mountaintop or that secret closet and get alone with him and hear the voice of God as we read the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Or we might want to escape our Calvary, our Gethsemane,
yes. Amen.
Our death, our burial,
yes.
And then lose out on our resurrection. I'm thinking of a man, friend of mine many years ago. A missionary had been to our church and had preached a powerful sermon. And this man went to the altar and decided that he would obey the voice of God, which was telling him, I have called you to preach this glorious gospel. And instead of continuing to withdraw and hear from Jesus alone, he talked it over with his friends, and believe it or not, his friends talked him out of it. And to this day, that man is backslidden. Another man I'm thinking of that came to me after I had spoken in the young people's service many years ago, and said to me, I feel called to preach the gospel. But instead of withdrawing himself and talking it over with Jesus only, he talked it over with his parents and his friends, and that man to this day is backslidden. E.E. Shellhammer, an old saint of God, said these words, if you were to tell the whole secret, doubtless you would say, when I first began to decline and grow lukewarm was at that point where I did not quickly and unhesitatingly obey the promptings of the Spirit to secret prayer. And he went a little further. It was fun being with the people. Jesus was a gregarious type person. He was the shepherd. They were the sheep. He loved them. The Bible says he loved them unto the end. But he knew that he had to get alone and be with his heavenly Father. He went a little further. If I had a message for you tonight, it would be, saints of God, let's not just do that which is our duty. Let's go a little farther. Let's not stop at the entrance to the garden. Let's go in with Peter, James, and John a little more deeply into the garden. And then let's not stop there, but let's go all the way to Calvary. Oh, Paul cried that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Stop, Paul. Stop. Back up. Erase that. I don't want to hear it. What do you mean, fellowship of his sufferings? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul would say. Let go of my hand. I have to ink this. I have to write these words for generations to come, because there are some people down the annals of history that are going to read these words, and God is going to put a spirit in them to go a little further and not only enjoy the power of his resurrection, but are going to want the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable unto his death. Praise the Lord. That's what we need to understand tonight.
Amen.
God is looking for somebody to go a little farther.
Amen.
I would like to shout one word to you tonight. Withdraw! Withdraw! Not from God, not from your religion, not from the Bible. Withdraw from the crowd and get alone. You might be surprised what he has to say to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You might find out what he really, really wants from you. You know, Jesus has a way of talking to people individually. He says, I know my sheep by name. I know them by name.
Lord Jesus.
He has called your name at least once, because you're here tonight, born again children of God. You heard his call. He's the shepherd. You are a little lost sheep out there. And Jesus called your name. And while others went about doing their thing, your little ears stood up. You heard the Master's call and you came running to him. You are his child tonight. Now he wants to call your name again to withdraw from the crowd and spend some time regularly alone with him. It is imperative that we withdraw. It is necessary that we go a little farther. Then come those words of discouragement. And somebody, your best friend, the one who knows you best. Nobody else knows how much you're doing for the Lord. Nobody else knows how hard you've worked for the Lord. You're doing it out of the limelight. It's not done on the platform. You're taking the baptismal clothes that nobody knows anything about. You're taking those and you're taking them home and washing them, and you get no credit, you get no glory. Maybe you're picking up somebody for church. Nobody knows about it, but you're seeing to it that they get here. Maybe there's a discouraged saint or a discouraged sinner somewhere. You are the one that is going to visit them and have them in your home and have them over for supper. Nobody knows about it. Your best friend sometimes will come to you when you want to withdraw or when you want to go a little further. And they'll say, you've already done more than your share. You've already done more than your share. But you know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lest you would think that I have done more than anybody else. Lest you should think that I have done more than my share. And surely God doesn't expect me to go a little farther. Lest you should think that. We have the words in the scripture, consider him.
Amen.
Consider him. Let's consider him for a minute. Knowing what Jesus did, knowing what he went through, I could hear voices speaking to him tonight and saying, Jesus, you've gone far enough. You've taken their insults. You've heard their lies. They hated you. The reproaches of him fell upon me. Jesus, you bore all that. You've gone far enough. You've done more than your share. Stop right here, Jesus, and put an end to this. Besides that, nobody appreciates you. Jesus, you've gone far enough. I can hear Jesus answer. I must finish the works. I must finish the works of my Father. I must finish it. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I have one chance to do this thing right. I've got to do it right. Don't stop me. Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. You want me to live in pleasure. You want me to relax my stand. No, I can't do it. I've got to finish the work you sent me to do. And Jesus said these words in the scripture, if I don't go to the cross, if I don't suffer at the hands of sinners, if I don't suffer a persecution in Caiaphas' palace, if I don't suffer a beating at the hands of Herod's men of war, if I don't suffer a whipping at the command of Pilate, if I don't suffer these things, how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? I can hear Jesus saying, I must drink the cup. I must drink the cup my Father gave me. I must drink the very last bitter drop. I must go to Calvary, because the destiny of a multitude of souls is depending on my success. I cannot fail. God, I cannot quit. I've got to go to the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
I love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Shall we stand?